Well, hello and welcome back to the Reigning in Ray podcast. This is the podcast where you, the listener, determine what we talk about and what direction we go. We're going to be answering your questions, and sitting here with me to do just that is the one, the only, the legendary Ray Jewell.
The legendary, like Casey at the bat or something like yes. that. That's strikeout all
because
the time.
You are as old as all of those fables.
I suppose, yeah. But I feel that old some days.
All right, so we got a couple of questions here we're going to wrap this up with. This is actually, we're going to play some inside baseball here, some behind-the-scenes look at what we do at Reigning in Ray. We try to do about one a month, but we've been sitting here. This is the third one we've recorded in a row because we've got so many good questions.
Yeah, we did have a lot of good questions.
So we're going to jump right in here with a question from our friend, Tad Carlson. Tad, a fellow history teacher, disc golf enthusiast,
professional almost.
Yeah, practically.
He's been winning tournaments.
He's been racking the wins up.
And I accept him as my son-in-law.
Yes, let's say he's married to Miranda Carlson, who's my former student and basically your former adopted daughter.
Well,
practically.
Basically still is, yeah.
Yeah. And so
I just don't get to see her very often.
We appreciate Tad and Miranda and little baby.
Yeah.
Whose name is he?
Kenny.
And I know he's had his health issues. Mm-hmm. But
doing fine, no.
Yeah. And I know Miranda's been a great mom in that, and I really enjoy reading their Facebook posts and Twitter posts on this one. Anyway,
he has a question.
Tad gets into a really good question. Are churches / private individuals doing enough to care for that widows and orphans? This is a reference to 2 Timothy. Mm-hmm. Or is it 1 Timothy? No, I'm done. Anyway, if not, why not? And follow up. If churches / private individuals are not doing enough, should the government step in? Let me take this and say no. I don't believe churches and individuals are doing enough as a whole. There are certain churches that are. I think there are some churches who are doing great with this, but I would say the majority don't. I remember growing up in a church where we were taught welfare, government-handed welfare is terrible. It's destroying the family. That's not the job of the government. It's the job of the church.
Yeah, well, but wasn't the church doing it?
Well, that's the problem. No one ever asked that next question. Okay, well, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Because whenever we saw someone who was down on their luck or someone who was impoverished, we'd say, well, they must be lazy. Get a job, bum. There is. I don't think churches are doing enough. And, you know, when it comes to orphans, you know, that's my passion here with adoption. We've adopted four boys. And I love the church I was in at Rockford because we really did emphasize that. And we had many adoptive families. In fact, even at the church I'm at now, we just found another adoptive family. And in Faith Community, we have several who have adopted, taken in these orphans. Mm-hmm. But I think reaching out to the impoverished in general is an area the church has not done well in. Specifically, conservative evangelical churches.
Well, right. Because they want to look at it as that's the government's job, which, I don't know, how can you even think that when you read through Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, how God cares for the poor, the disadvantaged, the weak, the widows and orphans. I mean, pure religion is this. That you care for widows and orphans.
Right.
I mean,
you just said a bad word. You said religion.
Uh-huh. Well, that's...
By the way, I looked it up in every single major Bible translation, the word religion is used in that verse.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out. Yeah. For those of you who say, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Well, actually, it's both.
Yeah, we've had that discussion before.
Drives me nuts.
Oh, me too. Me too.
So, in Scripture, I do want to preface what I'm saying in that... I do believe there is a place for personal responsibility.
Right.
It's not just a blanket. Anyone who wants help from the church should get it. No, I don't believe that. And I say that because I go back to where we get this idea of widows from. Because Paul makes a distinction between widows and true widows. And basically, a true widow is one who is older and has no other means of taking care of herself. And so, yes, Paul says we need to take, the church needs to take care of them. However, there are widows who said, no, it's not the church's job to do this. They should be taken care of by their families. Mm-hmm. If they have a family, the family is responsible for them. And if this woman can take care of herself, then she needs to take care of herself by other means. And I'm talking, it's 1 Timothy. Says here, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness in their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplication and prayers and days and night. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. So there is a... I don't think it's automatically the job of the church to take care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there are people within their influence that they should be taken care of, and I don't think the church has a great job of that as a whole. But I think there are individual churches that do.
What's interesting about what Paul does there in 1 Timothy, I mean, these women who are younger and much more influenced by false teachers, according to that book, that's one of the reasons why they need to be taken care of by somebody, so they're also being taught. So I think as much as there's a responsibility to take care of their physical needs, there's also that responsibility to help take care of their spiritual needs.
Yeah. And so the final part of that, should the government step in, if the church is not doing its job, in church and including private individuals, they're not doing their job, should the government step in? The conservative in me wants to say no. It's not the joke. But somebody has to do something. Right. I'm not going to let people starve just because the church isn't doing its job.
Right.
And so, or families aren't doing their job. And so I do think I have seen, you know, I'll just be blunt. You know, when I grew up, my dad never had a job. We lived off of welfare for quite some time. And he did grow dependent upon that, and it forced him not to work.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get a job until finally we had some reforms in Massachusetts government where, yeah, you had to work in order to do this. And so that's what caused him to get off the couch and do that. So I do see dependency as a issue, as a problem. But there are people who, for legitimate reasons, cannot work. And if no one else is there to take care of them, I'd rather the government step in than just see them waste away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't want to sacrifice the impoverished on my conservative values.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think there is a role for the government. Should there be? In my opinion, probably not. But because I do also believe in the depravity of man, I know man doesn't do what he should do. And so, yeah, I think there is a role for government involvement, though I wish there wasn't, but there certainly is one. And I don't, again, I'm not going to sacrifice the well-being and the lives of impoverished people just because I have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, next question. Back to Kirby. You've asked, we got one of your questions a couple weeks ago, but what is a good way or place to start when you have a new ministry you want to launch?
Oh, well, first of all, I would go to the leadership of the church where you are attending, talk to them about what it is you want to do, what you're going to need to get that accomplished. Will it need financial help? Will it need volunteer help? Will it need somebody else involved in the leadership? I mean, if I come up with an idea for a ministry in my church, I would expect the leadership to ask me, so who's going to lead this? Are you going to lead this? Or do we need to help you find somebody else who would have a similar interest? And, you know, it's like right now at Roxbury, one of the ladies, she and her husband just started coming there a few years ago, and they're members now, but she, you know, she missed having a choir. And she used to be a choir director, choir director at a church that they used to go to. And she announced it, and, you know, now we've got a choir. 15 people showed up for the first rehearsal. I think she's approaching it well. I mean, you know, back in the day, choir rehearsal was typically Wednesday night, and the choir would pretty much sing every Sunday morning. She's, you know, planning on 4 specials during the year, and like 2 or 3 rehearsals for each of those times that the choir would be singing. I mean, I'm overjoyed with it. I miss being in a choir.
And I don't miss being in a choir. I miss listening to a choir.
But, you know, it's
you don't want me in your choir.
No, I know that. I don't even want you in my quartet. But it's just a matter of asking, doing your research before you go talk to them. Have it out, you know, thought out. This is why we need this ministry. This is how we're going to go about doing this. This is the kind of money that I might need to get this accomplished. Here's the people who are going to be a part of this with me. We would be answerable to, you know, if you have a church that has multiple staff, you know, or maybe an elder that is in charge of that particular general area, you know, this. So it's, I wouldn't say it's a full-blown business plan, but it's something along that line.
Yeah, and I would start with the pastor, number one, because sometimes, just to be blunt, sometimes people shouldn't start ministries.
Well, right, and the thing about it, that too, I don't like at Roxbury, one of the other things you'd have to do is show how it's going to fit into the overall programming and vision of the church.
Yeah. And when I was in college, I had this vision for this huge ministry in New England, revitalizing New England, bringing revival to New England. And I wrote all these letters to all these different pastors, and I was going to lead this great organization.
He's always wanted to be Jonathan Edwards.
but this was before my Calvinist days.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to lead this great revival, and it's going to be incredible. It was really arrogant of me to just jump in. And basically what I was telling all these pastors were, you guys are doing it wrong. Let me show you how to do it. And at that point, I was still a senior in Bible college. Not even a degree in hand. And I'm thankful for an older pastor that kind of took me aside and kind of slapped me upside the head and like, you know what? No. Or I had one other pastor that, you know what? What if you waited 5 years?
Mm.
You're young. Mm-hmm. You know, in 5 years, you'll still be in your 20s and you'll still... What if you just waited 5 years to do this? That kind of blew away. Then when I was thinking, you know, maybe I should plant a church. Because again, in my mind, I just had it in my mind that everybody else was doing it wrong. And I was the only one who knew it. I was just an arrogant little jerk. And I didn't realize. I didn't have the maturity enough to realize it.
Yeah.
You know, I just had all this knowledge thrown in my head. And I wasn't wise enough to know how to handle it.
Most guys who go through that... arrogant.
So,
I mean, we're dealing with Jesse not that way, right? Right,
exactly.
Right now,
talking about arrogance, that jerk. No, but I'm glad some older people kind of took me aside. It's like, with some gentleness and kindness, basically said, shut up and listen. This is not a time for you to do that. And even right now in my life, you know, I'm not in a pastorate, I'm not preaching as much as I used to. And for this season of my life, that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that is because of some counsel I've received that said, you know what, back off a little bit. You know, you've got a season with your kids and your family that you need to focus on right now.
Yep.
It's not that your desire to do these other things is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It just might not be the right time.
We go through different seasons in our walk, in our lives, but also in our walk with Christ and with the church. And... you know, my season this year has been extremely focused on my wife.
Yeah.
But she's got rheumatoid arthritis. She's just now finally starting to able to do things. But there were 2 or 3 months there I needed to be there for her because she couldn't even get out of bed and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I hope she's not listening because she really doesn't like me sharing about her private stuff.
Okay, so a good place to start, again, start with your church, start with your pastor.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one thing to do.
Right.
And he can, and if it is a good idea, you know, he can kind of guide and direct you to where to go with that.
Yeah.
All right, final question from Tim Reed. Tim is one of my former students back in Massachusetts, although right now he's in Green Bay.
Well, good for him. He better be a Packer fan.
Oh,
not,
you know, speaking
a,
of
not
Packer
a Patriot
fans,
fan. In
we did have somehow I lost a question in here.
Oh yeah,
from Ethan out there in St. Louis. Let's get to that real quick. Yeah, Ethan out in St. Louis. Sorry, somehow I just skipped over your question. I know you really wanted us to discuss this. Speaking of Green Bay Packers, so sorry, Tim. I'm going to put you on hold, Ethan. Bringing you in. Is there any possible way Aaron Rodgers could surpass the GOAT? Speaking of course, Tom Brady.
No. No, there's nobody going to pass Tom Brady.
All right, and you're a Packers fan.
And I'm a huge Packer fan, but how many Super Bowls has he won? Seven?
I think six or seven.
Six
yeah.
or seven? I mean, no, it's impossible. You would have to be in a situation year in and year out. First of all, you'd have to play 15, 20 years, and then you'd have to be on a team that is going to always win. And it just, you know, I would say that Aaron Rodgers may be a mini-goat or something like that, but even then, there's others that would have a better claim to that because there's others who've won more than just one Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. And little known fact for some of our listeners, although if you've been listening... No, actually, back up. I haven't aired this interview yet. But Tom Brady once knew my name.
I remember you.
Yeah.
We've talked about that somewhere.
We might have talked about it on the podcast.
I believe
before,
so.
But I exist in Tom Brady's world for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm just gonna cuss you out, right?
But I'm gonna leave that for a future podcast.
Okay.
When we interview Ted Kluck. Well, not we, it's just me.
Okay.
And I'll air that some other time.
Ted Kluck, huh?
Ted Kluck, one of the guys behind the Gut Check podcast, author, college professor, journalist professor out in Tennessee. I can't remember the name of the college off the top of my head.
Okay.
But anyway, okay, so let's get to Tim's question. So Tim is one of my former students, one of the very few people that can say that he had me as a teacher and a principal,
mm-hmm.
Graduating class that year of two. Anyway, so Tim was one of my students back in Massachusetts. Now he's up in Green Bay. He has served as a missionary to China, and I think he's trying to go to Thailand at the moment. Although right now he's taking some language classes. He's going to be hanging out in Green Bay for a little while. But anyway, Tim asked, would you consider 2020 through 2021 a traumatic year? I think about the school year. What experiences can you share about helping people with trauma, PTSD, or in general, life's hurts? Would love to hear about experiences from the educational and ministry context of you both. So Ray actually wants to hear from you, too. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. He just doesn't know me, I guess.
Apparently, yeah. Anyway, so would you consider this past year traumatic?
Well, with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much so, though I think that I've seen a lot of resilience from people.
Yes.
You know, like I said, my personal ministry focus has been my wife, but not because of COVID as much as because of the arthritis that's been racking her body and whatnot. I've not had that without being a pastor currently. I do my writing and stuff, and I don't know, I don't get a whole lot of interaction with people on Facebook on something like this.
Breaking news.
So, uh-huh.
Sorry.
No.
I'm looking at Facebook as we are, because you know you're boring me, so I'm just No, but I got to on Ethan's comment about the question about Aaron Rodgers, my wife just responded.
Yeah?
She's a huge Packers fan. Mm-hmm. And she sent this little meme of some little girl crushing a soda can. And all I can say is, I think this means my wife wants me to be drinking more soda.
Well, now that's definitely a postmodern.
That's where I'm going with all of this. Okay, anyway. Yeah, I agree with you.
You broke in on me for that?
I did. You know, it's the Reigning in Ray podcast. And so I just thought it's a little irreverent and just throwing that out there.
Okay.
All right, so anyway. 2021, yeah, it's been a very difficult year.
Yeah, for you it has been. And you know, the school it has been.
From an educational standpoint, I have seen students suffer through this. Mm-hmm. No one likes to wear masks, and I'm not going to get into that debate, but I think the bigger issue has been isolation.
Mm.
We've had to go virtual a couple of times. I mean, all of last year, the end of last year, from March on, March, April, May, were all virtual. And I could see the students were suffering from that. And I could see depression. With some of them, I could just see a throwing in the towel. They're not trying as hard. And so I've really tried to be a lot more relational this year than I have in the past. Even when we went virtual.
That's not easy for you.
No.
So I applaud your efforts.
Yeah, when we went virtual, I always had what I called my morning meeting, where I'd just throw out a Zoom link. I said, you know, we don't have an agenda. This isn't a lesson. I just want you guys to chat. And so some of these kids, I knew they woke up early just to get on this Zoom call and chat with their friends that they couldn't mm-hmm. see.
That's good.
And so...
That was a good thought.
Yeah, every once in a while I have a good thought, believe me.
I feel the same about mine.
I've really had to work hard to be relational. There are a lot of kids who this whole thing... And some of these kids, it's not even about relationships. It's about fear.
Mm-hmm.
That fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to think more about salvation. While they're thinking about death, what better way to think, you know, hey, well, what if?
Yeah.
Worst case scenario. And so some of these kids have really needed a shot in the arm.
Oh, yeah. A Baptist would eat that up.
Yeah. A shot in the arm, yeah. They really need a vaccination is what they need. But anyway, and I'm hearing people deleting the podcast right now. Send your hate mail to Ray Jewell at... No. I really haven't dealt with PTSD too much. But I'll tell you, kids with trauma, mm-hmm. I can relate to that on a personal level. Having adopted four boys, I'm not going to get into all the details there, but they still struggle with trauma. Whether it's nightmares or acting out, lashing out at times. Mm-hmm. And some of these kids, they just need to be loved. I don't have a great psychological, strategy to other than just love on them and listen to what they have to say and be as relational as possible is what I've tried to do. And sometimes I've seen that be a blessing to students. I've had parents call me and say, hey, you know, you did this and I think it really helped. And sometimes it's the parents themselves that are struggling as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really been a difficult year. I don't have great advice there, other than I just try to be as loving as possible,
yeah.
Which isn't natural for me.
No.
I'm a very sarcastic person, even with the students, and
if I didn't pick on people, then that would be a sign that I don't love them.
Well, we wouldn't be friends.
We have to do it, yeah.
The insult is the basis of our friendship.
It is.
I don't know if that answers your question, Tim. But I don't want to get into too many personal experiences. I do know I have students who listen to the podcast from time to time.
Yeah, I would guess.
Yeah, and so I don't want to get into too much of that. But
you're good.
All right, well, that wraps up another Reigning in Ray. So keep the questions coming. I thought we've had some, the past three episodes, we've had some really great questions. And so keep those coming. You can email us at basicbiblepodcast@gmail.com or send us a tweet at Basic Bible Cast or Instagram, same thing. Join the Facebook group. Any of those things, shoot us your questions. We'd love to talk to them about it on our next episode. So until next time, have a great rest of your week.